Praise the Lord, 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 praise the Lord. We're talking about clerics today. This is stupid. Skyrim joke, Skyrim joke, Skyrim joke, Skyrim joke, Skyrim joke, Skyrim joke. Hello everyone and welcome back to Beginner's Basics to Dungeons and Dragons. My name is Evan Kaufman and I'll be your Dungeon Master for this session. In this weekly show, we're focused on helping newcomer players and Dungeon Masters get into the very basics of 5th edition D&D. Now, I don't know about all the rest of you, but my absolute favorite characters in any work of fiction are the wise mentor figures. Obi-Wan Kenobi, Gandalf, Uncle Iroh, they're all great in my book. So, naturally, when I sit down and think about what's the character I want to embody the most, it's someone who's been around the block and might be able to ground the other characters with some sort of sage insight. And for my money, that character is probably the cleric. Clerics are one of the two innately religious classes in the game. Any character you roll can be religious, make no mistake, but for the cleric, it is a central part of their identity. Before I get too far ahead of myself, let's remember to let's roll. According to the book, clerics only become the divinity-dedicated demon-derriere-decking do-gooders they are when they are literally given power by their deity for some higher purpose, such as subverting a prophecy of ruin, wreaking holy justice on heretics plundering the kingdom, or because everyone else in your group rolled a fighter and the party needs magic and healing. Yes, unfortunately, it is the lot of the cleric to be the primary healer of the group, but even outside of that, you continue to be that same chosen by the gods magical warrior that puts you head and shoulders above the usual reverends and preachers in the material plane. So rather than just being a warrior who lives by a holy code, or, you know, an oath if you would, you're kind of already locked in and are tight with your god right out of the gate, and you get all the cool shit that comes with being a prophet, even at your weakest. So, level 1 for the cleric is pretty awesome. Your starting health points for a cleric will be 8 plus your constitution modifier. And the abilities you'll want to prioritize are wisdom, because living and dying by a particular set of religious principles tends to breed practical knowledge in a person. And charisma, because how can you possibly hope to convert the wicked without being at least a little charming? As mentioned, level 1 brings on a slew of different awesome things for this class. This class is primarily a support caster, so you get the ability to cast magic right at level 1. Mechanics are the same with how you can use magic as I talked about with the bard a few days ago, but for the cleric, spells work somewhat differently insofar as how many you're allowed to take. Wisdom is your spellcasting modifier, and the number of spells you're allowed to know at any given time is dependent on how high that wisdom modifier is, as well as your cleric level. For example, one of my current characters, the level 1 cleric Keegan Lightwind, has a wisdom of 19 because I got lucky and manual rolling is the best. So, a score of 19 nets you a modifier of plus 4, and he's a level 1 cleric, so he currently knows 5 different spells right now. When he hits level 2, he'll get the power to channel divinity, a power which allows you to, quote, channel divine energy directly from your deity, using that energy to fuel magical effects. Now, every cleric can turn undead, causing a zombie or other such undead creature to panic and run away from you. Or even just get vaporized on the spot if you're much more powerful than it is. The other effect you get is determined by one of the many different subclass options you get for how you want to build your cleric, which you also get at level 1. Look, maybe calling it a subclass isn't the most honest thing in the world. In D&D, there exist a lot of different mythical deities scattered across the various mythical worlds. Faerun has a different set of gods, as does Eberron, Dragonlance, and so on and so forth. The gods of D&D are responsible for different facets of reality, so clerics who are granted power from their different deities are granted different powers based on the divine domain they pick. In the base player's handbook, there are 7 different divine domains for clerics to draw power from, and if you all don't mind, I'm just going to briefly go through each of them, talking about what kind of a cleric a particular domain might attract, and what other effects for channel divinity are, because with each domain, you also get secondary powers that you can swap in and swap out for your channel divinity. First up, we have the knowledge domain. Your god or goddess loves collecting secrets and learning more about the state of the multiverse. As a knowledge cleric, you probably spend a good chunk of your time at your local library, learning about the history of wherever it is you're going, and you can't help but try to learn as many secrets as possible, from as grand as the history of a lost civilization as told by hieroglyphs and ancient ruins, to as unimportant as seedy small-town drama wherever you pass through. As part of Channel Divinity, your deity bestows you with the knowledge of how to use one particular skill or tool for a limited time, followed by the ability to read a creature's thoughts at level 6, followed by the ability to see the past of an object or location like your Cal Kestis in Jedi Fallen Order. Next up is the life domain, and this is the closest to what we call the vanilla cleric. You're incredibly upbeat and cheerful to the point that your personality and traits and hobbies literally come to revolve around healing people around you and promoting the growth and well-being of those that you come into contact with. All of your channel divinity power-ups also revolve around being able to do even more healing, even more effectively. It's pretty straightforward, and it's always helpful for people at the table. Moving on is the light domain. Look, have you ever played Dark Souls? You praise the sun and promote ideals of birth, justice, and beauty. You can shoot light out of your hands to both light the way for your allies and vaporize enemies with that same light. Following that up is the nature domain, and this is what you commit yourself to when you're a tree-hugging son of a gun. You can learn powers exclusive to acolytes of nature and the druid class. You can also charm animals and plants, resist the natural elements due to being so in touch with the natural world, and eventually gain the power to just flat-out give orders to plants and animals like you're a terrestrial Aquaman. By the way, that is what Keegan is. Moving on is the tempest domain. And this revolves around storms and natural disasters. Clerics of this particular domain are likely to have fiery spirits and short tempers, much like the gods that they worship. This domain's channel divinity power-ups revolve around you being able to deal lightning and thunder damage with every weapon strike you make, and at high levels you gain the ability to manipulate storms and weather to fly like you're Thor or something. Saying all this out loud makes me realize I really want to play a tempest cleric very badly in the near future, so I'm just going to move on. Up next is the trickery domain, and this is the playground of natural-born pranksters and hucksters. If the Joker were a D&D cleric, he would be with the trickery domain. You're sympathetic to thieves, rogues, and anyone who isn't afraid of messing around with the natural order of things. Your channel divinity allows you to create a mirror image of yourself so that you can more effectively screw around with people. You can also flat-out vanish from the perceptible eye, and then at higher levels, screw around with people even more by making 4 mirror image replicas of yourself. Finally is the war domain, and this attracts clerics which bask in the glory of combat. Your channel divinity allows you and your allies to have much better chances of hitting targets in combat, and at higher levels, you can resist bludgeoning, piercing, and slashing damage from non-magical weapons, effectively turning you into an avatar of battle. I catch my breath now, because that is all of the cleric's divine domains, but I forgot to mention the one downside of the cleric class, and that is that you don't unlock your signature ability until level 10. Because no, channel divinity isn't your signature cleric ability. That would be the literally calling down miracles from your deity with the aptly named divine intervention. At level 10, you need only describe the kind of miracle you want your god to provide to your DM, and then you roll your percentile dice accordingly. If you succeed, you can't call on a miracle for another 7 days in-game, but whatever you call to happen, happens through the literal power of God. It's so cool. I've never been able to do it, because I never play a game that lasts to level 10. Get there for me. Get there for me, please. Oh, and then I further torture myself, because level 20 in-game, I wrote down here, the highest level you can reach, by the way, you can just declare that you're going to use Divine Intervention, and then there's nothing that the dice can do to stop you. You still can't use it for a week afterwards, but if clerics were able to do that, they could reasonably hold the world hostage with their divine powers and do whatever they wanted. Damn the consequences. Oh man, this keeps spurring on my imagination for story ideas I could pursue in the future. Clerics are generally joked about as being the de facto healers of a D&D party, but they can give so much more. Generally relegated to such roles, they are still more than able to hold their own, even without allies to support them and keep them safe. The rich breadth of character creation options means you can provide support to your allies in a variety of different ways, and equally, make your cleric come from any kind of background, enhancing roleplay options. With the literal power of the gods on your side and all of the niceties that come with such an honor, a cleric is always a useful and welcome addition for any adventuring party. Well, anyways, that's basically it. Thank you all so much for tuning in to listen. If you have any feedback you'd like to give regarding this show, I implore you, please use our brand new email and get in touch with me. The email is beginningbasically@gmail.com. I look forward to hearing from you very soon. And stay tuned, because here on Friday, we're going to be taking a small break in our ongoing series so we can have another guest on. Another player in my current campaign and one of my good friends. She actually really enjoys making characters for D&D, and often does so just in her free time as a way of winding down. And on that note, safe travels, adventurers. Peace.